Where is the Lord in all our troubles? Now, this is I have one more message in the series on Christian and suffering, and I just enjoyed this message. I thought it would be a blessing to you. Psalm 22, in verse 1, listen to David as he writes these words. Now, we know that they were meant for someone else. He writes these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Can't you hear me? Look down at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. We often feel alone when we're experiencing troubles, trials, tribulations, when we feel abandoned or forsaken. It seems like we're forsaken by God. We just feel like He's not there. We feel like He's hiding. Remember when you were a child and you would count to 10 or 100? It depends on how big the area was. Somebody else would go hiding. You'd go looking for them. And it seems like while you were busy, God went hiding. And the problem is, we expect God to protect us. We expect God to be our defense, our shield, and not allow bad things to happen to life, our life. We don't expect Him to allow health problems to come and upon us or financial dilemmas. We wonder, God, where were you when that happened? David felt that a lot. Look at Psalm 10 in verse 1. Psalm 10 in verse 1. David writes how he feels. He says, why standest thou so far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Where do you go when I'm in trouble? Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? What's he writing? He's writing how he feels. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? He's debating and struggling to figure out what's wrong, having sorrow in my heart daily. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Eric, would you ask them if they would get me a glass of water? Please. Psalm 35, in verse 22. I'm going to let you guys read it now. We're going to have some fun for a moment. And Brother Dan, would you start Psalm 35, 22. Read it with emotion, please, as we get to read these, please. All of you, when we get a chance. 35, 22. So how does he feel, God? Where does God? He think God is? That's right. And he says, hey, pay attention. I think it's just great. You've seen this. Are you paying attention? 38:21. Kathy, 38:21. What a strange thing to pray. And yet, you know what prayer really is? Is prayer is how you feel. It's what you're thinking. It's okay when you're wondering to verbalize it and say, God, are you still there? Is the line been disconnected? Psalm 27, go back a few. Psalm 27 and verse 9. I really appreciate that. Nita, Psalm 27 and verse 9. He says, it seems like maybe you're upset at me. Psalm 30 and verse 7. Myra, do you mind? Psalm 30 and verse 7. Wow. So he's contrasting. He said, you made me stand strong like a mountain, but then you hid your face, and I was troubled. So in a moment, his life changed, and he said, God, is this you? Are you doing this? I'll show you another one. Brother Dennis, Psalm 44, verse 23 and 24. 23 and 24. Remember, in the Bible, most of the time when it says wherefore, it is actually a longer word for the word why. Wherefore is just why. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression. To him, to David, he says, it seems like you're forgetting about us. Now, was that true? It was not true. But David felt that way. And he wrote that way. And I like it because that's how I get to feeling sometimes. Not only did David feel that way, so did Job. Job 13 and verse 24. Go back one book before Psalms. Find Job 13 in verse 24. Job 13 and 24. Leo, do you mind? If anybody doesn't want to read, just shake your head at me and I'll skip right over you. Job 13:24. So to David, to Job, it says, why are you hiding your face from me and treating me like your... Job felt low, didn't he? Show you another verse in the book of Job, chapter 23, Allison, chapter 23 and verse 9. Well, if you'll read 8 and 9, please. So how does Job feel? I've looked everywhere. All right. So Job feels alone. David feels alone. Ever felt that way? Honestly, we're saying, God, have I missed something? Have I gotten off the path? Am I away from you or are you away from me? So where does God go? This is a deep theological question. Where does God go when you feel alone? First of all, let me help you with some background truths. He doesn't go nowhere. All right? God is always there. He is ever present. I need you to go to Psalm 46 in verse 1. Psalm 46 in verse 1. Every one of those verses you read, David and Job, what type of situation were they in? Good or bad? Bad. Troublesome. And in trouble, it seemed like God was not there. But listen to David write in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's never not there. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Way to the right. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5. Eric, would you read that? Hebrews 13 in verse 5. All right. So, one thing you've got to settle, whether your heart feels it or not, whether your mind understands it or not, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, even if you backslide, even if you mess up, if you feel like you're so far away from God, where is God? He's there. He can't divorce you. He cannot leave you. Amen. He stuck with you, which is pure torment to him, I'm sure. God is there. Secondly, second great truth you've got to settle so you can face these bigger truths I'm going to talk about in a moment. It is, let me stop there. I thought I had this. Why is that not there? Okay, I'll get to my point. I forgot. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 27. John chapter 10 and verse 27. Not on my list on the PowerPoint, but it's my point I got to say. The second truth is that he speaks to and he directs his sheep. John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Does God direct and speak to his sheep? Yes, he does. Why else would you pray if you weren't asking for God to direct you, give you some type of understanding, some wisdom, some clarity of thought? Sometimes as you're reading the Bible, he's talking straight to you, and it's as if he's right there. God, Jesus speaks to us sheep. Now, the point that the third point is that it's hard to believe it. Hard to believe it because it feels like he's not there. But here's a great truth. Go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. He never slumbers. He never nods off. He never sleeps. Psalm 121, verse 3. Darren, would you mind reading Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4? So does God get tired? No. Does God ever nod off at the wheel? Is he ever at a time where he's not paying attention to the slightest detail? Give me a verse, Darren, that tells us that God cares about small details. I can think of, I'm not sure if I'm asking it correctly, but that he pays attention to things that we don't even pay attention to. He keeps track of the number of the hairs on your head. That's small detail. How about the fact that a sparrow falls out of a tree? It blows my mind that if he pays attention to those kind of details, he's watching you. He takes care of us. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Go to the right, find Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. Haven't you heard that? There is no searching of his understanding. There's no way to figure him all out. Look at Isaiah 49, 15. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Go into Cork University Hospital. Somebody has a baby. They're sitting there holding that baby. Isaiah 49 verse 15 says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Is that possible? Yea, they may forget. Yet God says, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee where? Are you with me? Verse 16. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I like how he says that because I think he used nails to engrave in us upon the palm of his hands. Amen? All right. So here's a great truth. God does not. Now, does David think he does sometimes? That he falls asleep? Yes. But you will too, but you've got to settle that he never slumbers, he never nods off to sleep. John 16, in verse 32, the Gospel of John, Jesus proves this to be true. John 16, in verse 29. It's not Sherry. Why? It is Sherry. Yes. My mind's not working all on all cylinders. John 16:32. Would you mind reading that? Amen. Is that a good verse? When everybody was pulling out on Jesus, he even knew it was going to happen. He says, but I won't be alone. And you've got to settle the same thing. Because where does God go? What's the first answer? He don't. Not good English, but it's great theology. He don't go. He don't leave. Amen. He won't leave us. Hebrews 5:7. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Your oldest daughter's name is Juliet. Hebrews 5:7. I don't get to see enough to remember. I don't. I just give up. All right, who is that that is being talked about in this verse? Who in the days of his flesh, when he was living in the flesh, he offered up prayer, supplication, strong crying. Who was that referring to? That's referring to Jesus. And why did he pray if it weren't for the fact that he knew that he was being heard? And when you're praying and you're feeling like you're not being heard, guess what you need to decide? I am being heard. He is hearing me. All right. So, that's our background. God can't leave you. It may be hard to believe, but he's not sleeping, he's not nodding off, he's not taking a holiday. He'll never leave you alone. So, let's go to the truth. Why does God go quiet? There's three reasons. There are three reasons why God goes quiet in our life. First of all, it's because we grieve him. Ephesians chapter 4. If he stuck with us, if he cannot leave us, what is he going to do when we are fighting him, when we're grieving him, when we are disobeying him? What is his way of reacting? Quiet. We'd say backing off, but in a sense, he's just going to the sidelines and letting us take our life and run it into the ground, isn't he? Watch your Bible. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I love how he says you're stuck with him until the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. When you grieve him, the result is going to be he goes quiet. As a matter of fact, there are times in the Bible where God was quiet for hundreds of years. Before John the Baptist came forward and preached his heart out, guess how long it had been since they had heard a prophet? 400 years. Israel had so rebelled against God. God said he was committed to Israel. God said, you're stuck with me. But when they went into idolatry, first the northern 10 tribes and then finally Judah, and they turned their back on God, and they went away into sin, God said, I'm just going to sit this out and let you guys go off into captivity. For 400 years, he went quiet. Probably most of the time, God goes quiet in our life because we grieve him. Secondly, because we frustrate him. I showed you how this is different. Psalm 78. In verse 41, and your son behind Juliet is Josiah. I like that name. Psalm 78. Verse 41. Now, Josiah, can God do anything? God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. All right. So, if he can do anything, you just read a verse that said he's limited by our actions, by our attitudes, by what we do. they turned their back on God, they did their own things, and God said, you know, I can do anything, but your stubbornness tied my hands. It limited my ability to work in your life. Isn't that scary? So why does God go quiet? Why does He sort of shut down? Because I'm grieving Him or I'm frustrating Him where He can't do what He wants to do because He's waiting for us to do what we want to do. Third reason. This is probably the scariest, because we really don't want Him to do a work. We really don't want Him to talk to us. We don't want His direction. And so we wonder, where'd He go? Well, you shut Him up when you said, really, I'm not really listening, God. I tell you what, in a church as ours, we have people that God is working on and trying to speak to, and I watch them worry about things that work. They're worried about when they're going to leave and go home, and they don't put out the effort to come to church. And then they're wondering, where is God? I'm going through so many troubles, and God's not there. And I go, do you realize you didn't want Him? And the reason why He pulls back is because you really didn't want Him there to begin with. We love fire insurance, but we don't, from hell, but we don't really think about a relationship. Yes, we want out of a trial. Oh, God, where are you? And we only want out of the trial. And we end up ignoring Him. We end up complaining. What is the fruit of the silence of God in our life? I'll tell you what the fruit is. Complaining. A critical spirit. A critical spirit comes from somebody who hasn't spent any time with God. If you look into your life and you see a critical, angry, bitter spirit, frustrated spirit, you're looking for God and He's not there, it'll be because you spent time in your own thoughts and not in His thoughts. You're really not listening to Him, you're listening to yourself. And so you're only going to get more and more critical. So why does God go quiet? Because we grieve Him, we frustrate Him, and we really don't want to hear from Him. Now, let's talk about what God is doing when He is quiet. Hey, speaking of being quiet. No, don't worry about it. All right. What is God doing when He's quiet? All right? I like this. He never sits and does nothing. The first thing He does is He does some finding. Psalm 119 and verse 73. Psalm 119 and verse 73. Josiah, what's your brother's name next to you? Patrick. Psalm 119, verse 73, if you please, Patrick. All right. Now, when we think that God is doing nothing, you need to remind yourself He is always doing something. And He is fashioning. He is fining. We read about this in previous weeks where He puts us through the fire. He finds us, which means He refines us. He's exposing what's in our heart and what's in our life, trying to remove it. First thing that God is doing is He is refining us. Second thing that He's doing is He's forging. Look at Psalm 100 in verse 3. Patrick, your brother's name next to you is? Nathan. Hey, I got to go through it all. I might as well embarrass myself the whole way. Psalm 100 in verse 3. Do you want to try it, Nathan, or do you want to give it to Big John next to you? You can't read yet. Well, you can think it. I'll give it to John. Go ahead, sir. All right. The first work He does in our life is heat work. He puts us through the fire. The second work He does is He puts us under the hammer. And God begins to hammer away. But what is He doing when He's hammering away? He's shaping us. He is forging a shape in our life. What is the image He's shaping out of our lives? Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image. Amen? Then there's a third work that God is doing when He's quiet. He is fashioning. Psalm 102, verse 25. Psalm 102, Ruth, if you don't mind, Psalm 102 and verse 25. All right, now I'm using a couple of different unusual verses. I could use some really particular ones, but these were kind of front. Did he fashion this universe? Yes. But you know, we sing a song, he's still working on me. You know what he uses? He uses soft hammers and slight pressure sometimes. Aren't you glad he doesn't always use a big hammer? Aren't you glad he doesn't have you always under the heat? Amen. There are some times where he uses a tap hammer. Amen. And that is a good thing. He's doing the finished work. He's not hammering nails now. He's actually just trying to iron out some kinks. Amen. And those are three things he does. He finds us, he forges us, and he fashions us. And he did a good job with the universe, didn't he? I think he could do a good job with us. What do you and I do? Now, this is the message. What are we supposed to be doing when he's quiet? Go to... I have three... go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Kemi, would you read Genesis 6 and verse 6 just to show the seriousness of grieving God? Genesis 6 and verse 6. Wow. Was there a city in the Bible in the Old Testament that got God very upset enough where he was going to destroy the whole city? He said, I've had enough. Anybody know what the name of that city was? Well, you're right. Sorry. I was thinking of another city. But he wanted it to not be destroyed. That one he wanted to be restored because it had gone too far. But I'm thinking of Nineveh. And what was the thing that stopped Nineveh from being destroyed like Sodom was? What was it that stopped? It was preaching, but it wasn't just preaching, because preaching is no good unless somebody reacts to it. Yes? They repented. They humbled themselves so far that even the king took off his royal clothes and put on sackcloth and threw ashes in the hair on his head. And he humbled himself. So when God is quiet, the first rule is find out if he's upset. Because two out of the three reasons why God goes quiet is because of us. Actually, all three of them. Really. Honestly, we need to find out, have I grieved you? Have I pushed you away? Go to Exodus 33. And Amanda, Exodus 33, 1 to 4. Now hold. Here's God talking to Moses, saying, all right, I want you to get everybody up and head towards the promised land. Watch what he does in verse 2. Hittite. Just say all the ites. You're okay. The flashlights and the termites. Whoa, did you notice that? I will send an angel now. I won't go up in the midst of you. Keep going. He says, I'm not going with you because I might just incinerate you. He was upset. And when God goes quiet, when he seems to pull back, it's a good thing to wonder, did I do this? And the most important thing to do when he's quiet is to humble yourself. We read it, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Ask yourself, I wonder if I'm grieving God. I wonder if what I'm watching, I wonder if what I'm doing, I wonder if what I'm thinking. You know, he has to put up with what you think. I mean, your wife wouldn't put up with what you think. Your parents, I mean, the things that go through our head, that's why the Bible says casting down imaginations. If we disobeyed God, you know what we need to do? We need to confess and forsake that sin. We've got to decide to humble ourselves and get right with the person we have wronged and then get right with God. Humble yourself enough to get back to obeying God's commandments. So, humble yourself. That's the first thing you do when He's quiet. I don't know if I can convey this, but the idea is to look in your heart and say, Lord, it's been a long time since I've just known You were speaking just to me. Since I walked with You and talked with You. You need to ask yourself, am I grieving You? Humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to be quick to say, I'm sorry. Illustration, in the old cars, you remember the old cars, they had a bench seat, like they do in the back seat. In the front seat, at least in America, the seats weren't these bucket seats. It was all the way across was the seat. And here's this brand new groom and his bride, and she's snuggled up against him, and he's driving along the road, you know. And a few weeks later, he's noticing she's over at the other side. She's sniffing. He says, what's wrong? She says, we're not close. I'm not the one that moved. And the truth is, sometimes we're wondering, God, where are You? And the Lord says, I'm not the one that moved. I'm not the one that moved. You ought to draw Him, man. Yeah, but that's a guy. We're talking about God here. Secondly, Hebrews 11:27. The second thing to do is to go ahead and look for Him. Every time you find David and he feels alone, what is he doing? He goes out looking for God. He says, God, it seems like You're not there. Where are You? That's a good thing to do. Isn't that what you do when your kids go missing? Now, some of you go, amen. Oh, some quiet. No, don't ever do that. What do you do when God goes missing? You know what you do? Look for Him. Cry out to Him. Get back to a prayer time. You say, Lord, You seem so far away. Good. That's the first thing you do. Go looking for Him. Hebrews 11 says it this way. Hebrews 11 and verse 27. By faith. Oh, well, go ahead there. Hannes, you're ready to go. Now, who's the he there? Who's enduring the wrath of the king? It's Moses. Moses, he was at one time afraid of Pharaoh, wasn't he? And he ran for his life. But then he comes back in and he faces Pharaoh and he's not afraid of the wrath of the king because he's not looking at Pharaoh anymore. What are his eyes upon? He's able to see Him who's invisible. So it's the idea. I may not be able to see Him like an apparition, but I can see Him. I know He's there. I know Him with the eye of faith. Go ahead and look for Him, even when it's hard. 1 Corinthians 13. Go back to the left, find 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Barry, if you don't mind, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. Paul is describing, trying to see this face in a glass, and it's a dark glass. But I want you to understand, it's not a mirror. He's trying to see through a thick, dark glass. But the idea is, he's trying. He says, I see something. I can't make out all the image. I can't see exactly. One of these days, it's going to be face to face. Speaking of Jesus Christ. But at least the idea is, he's looking. And there ought to be something about a Christian that says, you know, this world is not my home. I'm not going to be looking constantly in the newspaper. I'm not going to be constantly listening to the news and getting the attitude and getting my thrill or getting my, what's it where you have your, there's another word for attitude, but you get your life from somebody you're looking at. And if you go looking for the Lord when He's silent, He may be just wondering if you ever missed Him. He may just be wondering, I wanted to see if you even missed me. So go looking for Him. It's just a very basic thing. If you invited Jesus Christ into your drab, broken up, mess life, then you can trust that He's there and He's just looking for you to go looking. He's looking forward to you looking for Him. Third thing, still in Hebrews 11:27, going back there, I want you to see something else that's very important there. Hebrews 11:27, stay the course. You know, what may be true, what may be going on when God goes silent is there's nothing more to tell you. Maybe He told you, Eric, to come to Cork. And He did. And then He told you, get into that church and get all the way in and join the church. And then God goes silent. You know one of the things that may be cool? He may just have no more new instructions for you. He says, just stay where you're at. Hebrews 11:27. Here, it says about Moses. Moses is supposed to be going into the promised land, right? But it says this in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt already, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. What's that talking about? He says, you know what? God brought me out of Egypt. I'm not in the promised land yet, but I'm going to stay going until He changes my direction. Is that good words? As a Christian, when God doesn't give you any new information, it's because maybe you're supposed to just stay with the instructions He gave you the first day. Amen. I have actually heard of people who said, God told me to divorce my wife. I've never met them because I don't know if they'd live. You know, that's not possible. I've met people who said, God brought me to Ireland. And then I met God is moving me back to America. Well, maybe He is, but I wonder, are you sure? See, I don't think God gives instructions and goes, oops, that wasn't right. Let me change my mind. Sometimes we want so bad to God to talk to us that He's not talking. He's want us to stay the course. Endure. I like that word. Stay in the middle of God's will. While you're staying the course, look at Acts 16. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. It's like a parent saying, I believe God gave me my children, but now I believe God wants me to send them away. It doesn't work that way. Stay with the program. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, what were Paul and Silas doing while they were praying? They sang praises unto God, and the other prisoners heard them. Like we learned this morning, a Christian needs to go ahead and praise God anyway. When God is not speaking to you, when He doesn't seem to be really teaching you or speaking straight to your heart, what should you do? Praise God anyway. Sing praises anyway. God allowed Paul and Silas to be whipped and beaten and put in prison. Was that where they wanted to be? No. Is that where they thought they should be? No. But they figured, I guess this is where we're supposed to be. And there they sang praises to God. Good word. When God goes quiet, go ahead and praise Him. Last point. Let God work away on you. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah is taken down to the potter's house. And he sees a potter take clay on that wheel, spinning that wheel. And he watches that potter mold and shape and then remake that clay. In Jeremiah 18 and verse 6. And Shane, have you got that? It's Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. Her Bible's falling apart. Jeremiah 18 in verse 6. So can I not, will you not let me do with you as the potter did with the clay? So let God work away. What is God doing when he's silent? He's working. So let him work. Endure. No matter how long it may be taking, knowing when it's finished, it's going to be marvelous. How do you allow God to work? It's by waiting, without panic. If we look at just a few scriptures here, Hebrews 10, 32 and 33. Two more scriptures. Sarah, would you read Hebrews 10, 32 and 33? Hold. That's not where I'm looking for. Hebrews 10. Where does he say? Oh. Try 35 and 36. So verse 35 says, don't throw away your confidence because there's a great recompense of reward. There's a great payoff. What do we need when we're waiting on God? Patience. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There are dozens and dozens of scriptures, especially in Psalms, where God tells us to wait and to rest. Not panic, but to rest. As we let God. So what do we do when He's quiet? We humble ourselves. We take a moment and we go looking for Him. You know, if somebody's out of church and they're not reading their Bible, they're not spending any time in prayer, they're not around Christian brothers and sisters, and you know what they need to do? They need to go looking for God. They need to get back into church. They need to open the Bible and say, Lord, I know you're in here somewhere, amen. That's a good thing. It is the most important thing to wake up and to realize. Then stay the course. Most of the time we don't know God's will for us 2 years from now. I think it's important for us to find out what is God's will now and be doing that. Sing and praise God anyway. We're going to work on that. I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if we could just make our mouths, our hearts, our minds, just start praising God for everything as we let Him work on us. So, here's the conclusion. It often feels like God is just not there. Is that true? No. So where does God go when He seems to go away? Anybody remember? Where does He go? Nowhere. You know what David says in Psalm 135? If I ascend up to heaven, hey, you're there. If I go to the furthest corners of the world, to the farthest sea, behold, thou art there. If I even made my bed in hell, thou art there. You can't get away from God. And why does God go quiet? Somebody remind me. What are the three things? Weston. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We frustrate Him. We tie His hands. We just don't want Him. We tell Him, go away. What is God doing when He's quiet? He's working. He's refining. He's forging. And He's fashioning. Trying to make me more like Jesus. Trying to make you more like Jesus. And we wonder, well, why? And He uses trouble to do it, doesn't He? What are we supposed to be doing when He is quiet? Humble ourselves, first of all. Make sure you have not grieved Him. Make sure you have not pushed Him away. Second one, go ahead and look for Him. Thirdly, anybody remember? I didn't hear? Stay the course. Stay in God's will. Sing and praise God anyway. And what was the last one? Let God do His work. Amen. Trust. You know, it says there in James chapter 1, it says, let patience have her perfect work. Those are hard words. Because God uses our patience to allow us to be perfected. You know, the question to settle tonight is, are you one of His sheep? You know, if you are one of His sheep, you're in a good place. God can go quiet, and you can read the Bible, and it can be dry. The preaching can be dead. But if you're one of His sheep, you'll know one of these days things will come back again. Amen? The joy will be back. The thrill will come back. But you know what would be kind of sad is if you come to church and it's dry and the singing is dead and you're looking for drums, you're looking for disco lights and stuff like that. None of that can take the place of the Holy Spirit of God. None of that can take place of the sweet voice of God that comes as you're in that book and you're in God's house. So you got to ask yourself, are you one of His sheep? And if you are, you're in a good place. God's trying to get you back close to Him. I like how Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and they shall never perish. But I'm looking for the verse. He calleth them all by name. You got to ask yourself, has He called your name lately? He called so many people. I like how the Bible records Him calling Moses out of the burning bush. He called Samuel. Samuel thought Eli was calling him. You know, there's just something neat when the Lord says, hey, Craig, I got a job for you to do. Jesus called Saul of Tarsus, didn't he? Saul said, is that you, Lord? Must have been the greatest thrill of his life to hear the voice of God. Father, before we stand and pray, I just want to take a moment as we bow our heads. And Lord, this is a simple lesson about a very serious subject. God, we pray and we wonder and we worry. We ourselves get frustrated at what it seems like is you're not action. You're not acting. And it seems like you're asleep. It seems like you're not there. We have plenty of examples, Lord, where David and Job, even the disciples, they were so frustrated when they came to your son who was sleeping that day. And they gave out to him because they thought he didn't care. They forgot that he was God. And his flesh was tired and sleeping, but he was not nodding away. He was not letting things slip. Lord, I pray that we would remember that you can never leave us or forsake us. And that you can only work away as we let you. And Lord, in times where it's dry and it's quiet, and it seems like nothing's happening, may we remember something is happening. And when things aren't going the way we want, we're ending up in situations like Paul and Silas were, let us just realize we're still in your care. We're still being directed and moved and guided by your eye. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to trust you like you deserve? Because, God, you are in control. You are always perfecting us. And I love you, Lord, and I love how you're working in our hearts and our lives. Please, please may we give our future, the times that are tough, to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab our hymn.